Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, sitting on the other side of the desk, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Susan. Norm, how you doing on the other side of the desk?
I'm very thrown off about the other side of the desk.
I knew you were when you walked in. You went, oh, you were sitting on this side.
Well, you also have the headphones in, and usually that's me. And
I'm trying to take control of my life.
No, here's the thing. It is a big change for me, but I am accepting of it. And this is where you need to be right now.
Well, here's the thing. This is why I'm taking control of my life.
Okay.
Because now I'm editing the podcast. I've done one episode, two failed attempts on two other episodes. And I successfully pulled off one episode.
Right.
That had very little editing involved.
Yeah, it was a Patreon episode.
Yeah, and I just had to put one thing at the top and one thing at the bottom, and it took me about 3 hours.
Correct.
Without listening through. Like, it's not even like I'm listening.
No, this you didn't is even just double check.
Yeah. I didn't double
you just
check.
Was like, this is has to be good. This is my first time and it has to be perfect. So.
And it was, right. In my opinion, based on the first minute I listened to.
Well, those are the problem areas, right? It's all just the track is the track, you know? It's the.
Can I get a break?
Top and the tail is where things can go wrong.
Norm, scale of 1 to 10 in terms of your self-esteem, how you feel?
Oh, I'm not feeling great.
No, physically today you're not doing well.
No, I'm not doing very well. I woke up with something. And also I've just had a regular bad attitude pretty consistently the last few days.
Yeah, you've had a bit of a bad boy attitude.
Yeah, I'm in one of those moods where, like, everyone is making me mental.
Oh, my God, including me on the other side of the desk? Starting with me?
Again, it threw me off. Yeah, so I'm having a very, like, I've been having a very frustrating, like, time in general.
You know, the problem with your correspondence for work and whatever else
mm-hmm.
is it keeps you on your phone so much. So I feel like you're not able to walk away without your phone going, bing.
It's annoying.
Like, yeah. So it's like, I feel like that's really, it's, you know, fun to be on our phones, but when you have to be, then it feels like a prison. It feels terrible.
Yeah. And it's very odd when you're working with a lot of different people. It's like some people check out at 5 or 6. Some people wake up at, you know, 6 a.m. and they're like sending emails. And
hello, I do.
So, you know, basically, if you're in my position, you know, you kind of have to like answer your phone and respond to things 24 hours based on everyone else's schedule.
You also have to talk to everybody differently because
yeah, that's
each person, some like jokes, some don't like jokes, some like brief emails, some like explanations. So it's like,
yeah.
How do you keep track of everybody?
I'm pretty consistent in just thinking saying everything as a joke.
Honestly, you have to, because yeah. That way, if it goes awry, you can be like, I was joking.
Yeah.
Super easy. Yeah.
And there's a lot of stiff shirts.
Hello, news. It's called using the Scotch Guard. No, starch.
Yeah, whatever starch. That is. Start? Yeah, sure.
Give it a spray, guys.
Yeah. A couple of stiff collars.
like when you order a shirt and the paper's still in the collar. They're leaving it in.
That's right. There's a bunch of pins in this.
ooh, yum.
I did buy a bunch of records the other day. That was good.
You spent $300 on records uh-huh. for one night of entertainment. You were like, people are coming over. Better go get more than 4 records. And then you came back having spent $300. And you're like, we're going to need these. I was like, okay.
Yeah, turns out.
We used a lot.
We don't need Kenny Loggins' Alive concert album.
Norm, that's where you're wrong. I promise you we do. You got a couple pranks. You bought the Johnstons one because of my name.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought
that
an album called the Johnstons. And what are they? They're like a family.
It's
like,
just audio from my family.
No, it's
talking about how we feel, what it was like growing up.
That's right. It's
who's the funny one?
Atlanta Johnston family. Just a spoken word history.
Okay. Norm, in my family, if you had to compare us to the Kardashians, who's who?
What?
Yeah. If you have to compare my family to the Kardashians, who's
that.
Who? Norm. Oh my God. Why? Because you don't want to say
well,
I'm a Kim.
You would be Kim.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
That's all I needed to hear.
So you were at a 4 or 5, and now you're an 8 because you're Kim Kardashian. And
I'm at a 52.
As hell.
Hello. What I wouldn't give for those curves.
But yeah, yeah, it's just, you know, I'm just irritable.
Well, here's the thing. When you start a morning like that, it makes you dread the rest of the day. And you can't, like, sometimes you wake up in it. Like, if you wake up to an email, that's out of your control. It's not even like, oh, you can dictate the day. It's like, no, I woke up to chaos, well, and now I have to work my way back up to a regular mood.
Well, yesterday I walked into the office and somebody was in my desk.
Oh, yeah. This, guys, this is the drama of a lifetime. Norm got hired full-time at Vox, spent months trying to get a desk. They were like, yeah, we're on it, we're on it.
Because I've been there freelance for years and years and never had a desk.
But you didn't need, like, you're freelance, so I understand not having it. Football
season was done, I'd be like, okay, cool.
Exactly, exactly. But it's like, you went through HR. It's not even like you did the improper channels. Yeah. It took forever. They finally gave you one. They
made me scout my own desk.
That's right. You put a mug on it. You had your name on it. There's a phone there.
Yeah, I had the Brooks Wheelan mugshot mug, and I put a couple of, like, you know, a couple of things that are mine. You know, phone charger in the desk, etc.
Our wedding marriage certificate.
Yeah, framed. I framed that, and then. A full-grown life-size mannequin of you in the chair.
Oh my God, Norm, sexy. How do we get those on my merch store?
And then, I showed up the other day and I was like, somebody else is there and the name was different. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh my God. It's like, it's not even about the desk. You're just going, I exist. Can anyone acknowledge that I exist except when you need something from me?
No, it's
that's frustrating. I was livid when you told me. I fucking exploded.
I'm starting to come to the realization that I really hate, like, big companies.
You know, everybody does.
Oh my God. It's like, it's all just such a fucking clusterfuck, and everyone needs to be so on their toes and eggshells and worry about everyone's fucking feelings. It's like, Jesus Christ. Can we just, like, fucking be casual about something or write something down on a piece of paper? Like,
but it's hard. It's hard because you do have a lot of coworkers you like, so that's not what it is. It's a system that no one can change.
No, yeah.
No one can change it.
It's
not even the higher ups of your show.
Yeah, I like everyone I work with. It's not, I even like my boss and all that stuff. And it's like, I just think the way a big company works.
Any company.
There's just too many cooks. There's too many people that need to get involved.
And you know what else? There's resistance to change. So it's like, there'll be a better way to do something presented to them. And they're like, well, I've always done it this way. And it's like, people could be like, the companies I worked at that were bigger companies, I'm like, there is a 10 time more efficient way to do this.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear it because it's like, well, we already have this system.
Well, you know, the same is true in Canada too. It's like, it's when your internal network productions are, you know, they have their things that they do well. Like most, you know, TV networks do their own news. They don't outsource it to a production company, for example. But usually a production company, which is also a pretty big team.
Sometimes, yeah.
There just isn't all of these, like, corporate loopholes, I think. Well, it depends on how big their production company is, of course. But, like, anyway, this, like, all of these different emails and people, and it's like, it's just, my brain is scrambled, and I'm like, this has to be easier.
Well, it doesn't help that I keep emailing you asking what room you're in.
That's right. You do write that in the subject line.
What room are you in? And then in the body it says, tell me.
But I am not feeling great. I'm in the mindset where I just, like, I was watching this HBO documentary. It wasn't very good, about the anarchists or whatever. Okay. And they all just go to Acapulco and then live this, like, free government kind of anarchist life. It goes terribly wrong. But whenever I get into, like, these, like, annoying, like, big situations or, you know, confusing email threads with 40 people on them that everyone's chiming in, I'm just like, can I just go live in the woods?
you know what I hate when that happens to you as well? There's nothing I can do to help. Because it was like when you're writing a sketch or if you need a pitch or whatever, it's like, I can help with that. I can, you know what I mean? We can make it lighter. We can crack the case, whatever. But it's like the emails and this and that, it's really frustrating to watch you suffer. And I'm like, there is nothing I can do to help you. Even like the times I'll suggest, like, I'll go for a walk or a hike to kind of like blow off some steam. You're like, I can't because I have to respond to emails and you'll lose reception and you can't disappear for more than, I don't know, 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah, no, it's just too many. Too many people are afraid of things in general, whether it's, you know, having a crew of 10 people with a camera near them. And people are just like very concerned about their feelings and other people's feelings. And, but at the same time, it's no one seems to, no one seems to care that, that they just like, I don't need a place to sit, you know, at the same time. No, I'm like, oh my God, what's happening here?
I want you to know.
But
I care about your feelings.
Well, this is the craziest part when you think about it, is I just walked into this podcast and you took my desk.
Oh, my God. Okay, guys, let's clarify. First of all, this whole desk is my desk. I only took a different side because I'm trying to relieve you of having to run the recorder.
No, what
I am trying to make your life easier.
What actually...
Just not going well.
Just to summarize the whole thing, what we're talking about, I know it's been boring as hell, but...
No, it's not. I love this.
I'm mad at myself for trying to like get to like conform to it.
Well, you used to be the lone wolf.
Yeah, I should just go back to, I don't actually care about the fucking desk. I don't even want a fucking desk. You know what I mean?
The desk is just proves that you're a part of this big business. Whereas like when you would just roll in and roll out, and I think you can be full time and still do that. Like I said, you're a bit of a ghost.
Yeah, the people, whenever I walk in the building, think that they've seen a ghost.
Yeah, so it's like, I think you just need to get back to your bad boy attitude.
Yeah, it's what needs to happen, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what's going to be two things you do to become a bad boy again? And then we'll get to it.
Oh, dear. You know, I don't know. I used to love cursing in front of people of power. Like, you know, whenever the boss is around, I'd be like, oh, fuck that. And it'd be like, oh, Norm doesn't care what happens to him.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. Yeah, your old writing partner, or like the writing partner from one of your jobs, used to say, it's almost as if Norm's trying to get fired.
Every day, yeah.
Which is so funny. Okay, so one of them is swearing. I love that. What else? And then I've got a suggestion. I've got two as well.
No, I just need to have a I just need to reassure myself constantly that it's gonna be fine. It's gonna get figured out.
Okay, want to know mine?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Sunglasses indoors and a flashy vest.
We did mention wearing sunglasses indoors at the BugCon panel.
It's so rude. Yeah, it's so rude.
But I'm gonna start.
But it's cool. I think you should. Cool. And then what do you think about the vest?
Oh, I don't want to wear a vest.
Okay. And let's get to the episode on that note.
Yeah, who's the guest?
Oh, my God. Who's the guest? Hello, Norm. What? One of my besties.
Oh, okay.
She just popped by yesterday. We have a quick turnaround on this episode.
Cool.
She is one of the very few returning guests. She might be only the second returning guest on the main feed. She has done the Patreon just a couple months ago.
She was at the event in which I purchased all of the records for, and she did not mention a single song.
We'll have to bring her back on to ask if she was listening to the records.
Any of the records.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited. Everybody, please help me welcome Allison Rich right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Allison, we just got started and I'm already laughing. How are you?
I am good. We're hitting the ground running.
Welcome back. I believe you are either only the second, potentially, or third guest to come back on the main feed.
So we're honored. We are honored.
The people begged. I said, not for another 2.5 to 3 years. And here we are.
Here we are.
Allison, how are you feeling today? Scale of 1 to 10. And let's keep in mind, guys, we're not going to dish on the deets, but we already had a pretty good heart-to-heart, which, spoiler alert, boosted my mood.
Oh, yes. No, me too, because even if, like, you're talking about sensitive things, just to get it out of your system.
That's how I feel.
So helpful. Yeah. And so I'm coming in at a 7.
Oh, that's great.
Which is nice, because can we be real and tell them that we actually did already record an episode, and then it got a little botched.
There was two botches. There was an audio botch, and then there was a second botch of me introing it as the Patreon, which we just did. Well, we did it in May, but whatever. Yes. We did a Patreon.
Yes.
And I was like, I can fix it in the edit. Well, guys, as you know, I've been just learning to edit the podcast now, and turns out Alana Johnson can't fix a damn thing. So we're back. We've got you. But honestly, it's a better...
Totally. Because that one I was like at a 6, and even that... I'm one of these people that's like, I don't feel good, but I'm going to call it a 6, even though it was definitely I like the idea of saying it was a four, even though that's honestly probably what it was.
Yeah.
Was too sad to me. But so it's better to catch me today on a seven.
You know what else I'm going to say too? That one was over Zoom. Mm-hmm. And there, you and I are very in-person friends.
Yes.
We run high energy. We feed off of that. And the Zoom works in some ways, especially in an old catch up with a pal where you're just like, oh, any kind of chat, whatever. But because you and I are so used to seeing each other in person, I think there was like a disconnect. Like, even today, like having a gab sesh, just because you came in, we're having a gab sesh like we always do.
Yes.
And I just feed off of you.
Yes. Yes. No, way same. Too intense. Same. But no, yeah, things are good because I feel like, and honestly, you know, based on the last time, that would have been a couple weeks ago, I was like getting frustrated, and I can look back at a couple things I was frustrated a couple weeks ago and they've resolved. And so I'm such a catastrophic person that's like, if one thing's going wrong, I'm like, it's this forever. Yeah. And those things have, like, for one, I was like, career, like, I don't have a job, whatever. Yeah. I just got this little gig that I didn't even tell you about.
Oh my God, excuse you.
Yes. And so that, it's not like a long term forever. Yeah, I love to keep secrets. No, between the two of us, you're the secret keeper.
I am the secret keeper and the beekeeper, guys. New hobby. Check it out.
I wish I could keep a secret. I mean, I'm good at keeping other people's secrets.
Yeah.
But my own secret, I am the type of person that like literally tell like the Trader Joe's cashier like what's going on with me. So, you know, I'm just so like anything that's in the brain, I got to get it out to the world.
Yeah.
And it's not that people are super interested, but.
But it's so endearing. But anyways, go on.
Well, so I got this little like as of the new year, I got commercial directing representation.
Okay.
And they like had, these people had put me up for a job, I don't know, in March, I didn't get it. Then they were trying to put me up for another job in the summer, but I was away. Mm-hmm. And then recently they had someone directing this project and then that person dropped out and they were like, can you do it? And I was like, yes.
You think I won't be somebody's backup?
Oh, absolutely.
You think I won't be a sloppy second, a B plan?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And so it's a gig where I have to like, it's a web series for a tech company, which is like so
that's
silly.
So interesting.
But I have to like write these four little episodes and then direct them. And it's just like very hard to get your first directing gigs. And so
let
it's
alone
great.
A series.
Yes. And so like it's just gonna tide me over for the next couple months and make me be like, okay, we're
it's
okay.
It's something to do. Yes. It's I don't know why I got both thumbs going here, but it's something to do and it's going to create a schedule. And you and I thrive on schedules.
Yes,
we live for this.
Yes. And for a lot of the pandemic, I was like, I mean, one of my darker points was about a year ago, and I would call you at like 7 a.m. being like,
oh, yeah, because you know I'm up.
Oh, you are up. And I would just be like, I'm done. Like, there's no more career for me.
Yeah. Some days you would call me and you'd had already been on a hike and got your coffee. And I was like, are you okay?
Yes.
And
I was like,
well, I woke up with dread at 6 a.m.
Yeah. I'd be like, I've been out to the beach and I've cried into the ocean.
And then I drank some and then I left.
Yes. So like, that's good. And then like relationship stuff's good. And like, you know, so it's just, I have to remind myself that like most things that you're struggling with are temporary. Mm-hmm. So just like, you know, don't, I just make things so much worse for myself by being like, it's forever like this.
It's when you are left alone with your thoughts.
It's bad.
You are definitely, it's because you're so smart, okay? But you're too smart so that you can think of 1,000 outcomes when maybe the rest of us can think of 3. You know what I mean? So it's like, and because you're thinking all those things, you know what you're like? Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind, okay? You know how the math problems come out, like Sherlock Holmes, how it comes out, the math problems, and you can see
it. And I'm like,
it.
The FBI is coming for me. They've taken my comedy career.
In your defense, I called them. You were right about that one, Allison.
Sometimes I'm right. But
so it's kind of like, I feel like for you, it also works really well when you socialize.
Oh, because 100%.
Because then you're not thinking... You know, when you socialize with friends, you talk about career, okay, what have you been working on? Oh, this and this. And then you finally get into the real conversation about life and funny stories and whatever.
Yes.
And like we both went to a party on Saturday, friend's birthday party, and which was really fun. But it was like I don't know what you were thinking at the time, but you didn't have a care in the world, according to the look on your face.
Oh, my God.
You were having a blast.
I just wish I don't know, could wake up in a crowd of humans. You know what I'm saying?
Allison, I think that's actually a situation you might not want to be
in. I just want to, wake up and be like, oh, my God, so many people. What's happening? Is this a party? And that has been... I really have to take all my thoughts with a grain of salt during the pandemic because things are, better than they've been, but I still spend a lot of days, alone in my apartment being like, let's pick at this anxiety.
Yeah. Now he's kind of out more, but Norm is home, but we have the separate offices, and he really exercises closing that door. I can tell you that much. You'll notice it's closed right now, but when he is gone or tucked away or whatever, and it's just me, so I'm alone for the day with the dog, I'm like, I feel like a housewife in the 1950s with no kids, where I'm like, I'm losing my mind. Yes. I don't know. Literally, my therapist was once I told her I was so bored, and she goes, what do you do? And I went, I sat on the couch for half an hour today and actually just thought of things I could do.
Yeah.
And didn't do.
Yes.
Couldn't come up with anything.
Yes.
I was like, well, maybe I'll read. Well, maybe I'll this. Well, maybe I'll that. I just couldn't come up with anything.
I know. I've been very uncreative as well lately because.
Oh, sure.
There's just nothing. My therapist was you're seeing and doing the same shit every day. How could you? Sometimes I do feel like I'm in a pinball machine with no little things to bounce off. I'm just a ball at the bottom of the machine being to write a script.
You're just a ball in a glass machine.
I'm a ball in a glass machine that wants to wake up in a crowd. You know, that.
In an arcade, passed out. This is all I want.
This is all I want. But no, things are, all things considered.
Isn't it nice to have something to look forward to?
Yes.
Even if it's the social thing. Mm-hmm. For example, we knew we were going to see each other twice in the same day.
What a treat. We've been seeing a lot of each other, which is so good.
A lot of each other, which has been so
good. I want to mess this podcast up so we have to see each other again.
Okay, it's coming out tomorrow, but that's really going to stress me out. But okay, if you insist. I messed up the last one, so you have a free pass. Sabotage this. At the end, you clock in at a -7. I'm too embarrassed. I can't release it.
Yep. Let's get there.
But yeah, I would say... Wait, I just lost my train of thought from that tangent.
Of just the being alone a lot.
The being alone and wandering around. And now you have a gig. So it's something to look forward to. That's what it is. I saw you twice on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And I was so excited for both the events that I was going to that it was I woke up in the best mood at 6 a.m., had to clean the house, do all this stuff, do a podcast, whatever, which normally would really weigh me down or stress me out or I'd be oh my God. And it was couldn't have been more excited to get everything done so I could go see everybody and be excited. And I'd come off a kind of a lower week or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, thank God I had plans.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would have just wallowed all weekend. Thank God I had plans.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I listened to this podcast. It's called All in the Mind. And it's about different psychology things. And they did an episode on extroverts and introverts. And they said that when an introvert is forced to act like an extrovert, they actually come out the other side being like, I'm glad I did that. Like if they have to go to a party or whatever, they're like, that wasn't as bad as I thought, this is okay. But when an extrovert is forced to be like an introvert, like be quiet and alone, they're like, I'm going to kill myself. You know, like,
it's
so.
It's true though. Yes. No, it's true. Because it's like, we already said at the beginning, when you feed off of people, like a vampire or something like that, when you feed off of people and they're not there, it's like you have nothing to replenish you.
Yeah.
And or it's like you could drink 100 coffees and not wake up. It's just, it's upsetting, but we're lucky that we have this comedy scene that we all made 100 best friends in our first year moving here.
I mean, I told you this, my very new embarrassing deep dark secret, which is I started a UCB class.
Oh yeah.
And you know what? Literally all my comedy friends were
keeping secrets.
All my comedy friends wanted to punch me in the face, but I stand by the decision because it's getting up on stage, fucking around with a group of 16 weirdos, low stakes, you do a bad scene, who cares? You do a good scene, who cares? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not I'm going to do a bunch more or whatever, but it's just watering the plant that is me.
I couldn't agree more. And it's a weekly thing.
Yeah.
That's guaranteed going to happen.
Yes.
And it's it's what I've been doing, the equivalent of going to live shows to see other shows. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about being in them. Mm-hmm. I'm talking just audience member, go there, support friends. Half the time I don't even tell them I'm coming. I just like, just go. Which, for everyone listening, okay, that's kind of rare for a comic to do. Because when you do shows and stuff, sometimes the last thing you want to do is go to a show. Or if you're a teacher, sometimes the last thing you want to do is help your own damn kids with their homework. You know what I mean? Because you're like kind of exhausted of it. But like, the sense of community to feel like reinforce that I still have a community, like UCP could not open soon enough. Yeah. I think it's going to be great.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are going to have a place to play again, and it's going to feel really good, and there's going to be a good vibe.
Yeah. And I just think like after the pandemic, I couldn't like, maybe it'll open and there isn't like room for me or something, but I don't think I'll care the way that I did when I first moved from LA, from New York to LA.
Yeah.
'Cause in New York, I like did the scene and got on the teams. And then when I moved to LA, I was like, excuse me, hi, I'm here. Like, put me on the teams. And it took a sec for me to like find my place. And I took some classes and I was resentful. I was like, I fucking did this already. Like, why do I have to do it again? Now a pandemic has happened. I'm like, I'm in a class. I did a bad scene. Who cares? Like, who? No ego about it. It's like, who cares?
It's also a great way to meet new people, because I will say the one thing of the pandemic that's been tough is meeting new people, because now we're all like a little scared to leave our social circles as much. Not everybody, but there's definitely been like, we're a little more afraid of strangers than we once were. Like, I noticed at the grocery store, if like I go to somebody drops something and I go to help them with it, some people are like weirded out. I've touched their stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm not criticizing that. Yes. Everybody can have their own comfort level. And there's definitely some things I appreciate now, having more distance from people in some circumstances, obviously. But like, nonetheless, I just think like having a place to go, like with other people that are like-minded, like a class or to go to a show or when that theater opens, is going to be saving us and hopefully a way to meet new people.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we have made one new friend, Ryan Asher.
Last week's
we're obsessed
guest.
With her.
We are obsessed. We
She's the funniest.
This weekend.
Yes,
we had
such
an
a good time.
Absolute blast. I stole her lighter. I didn't mean to.
Oh, no.
New, and I'm coming clean about it, Allison. Are you happy now?
Yes. Wait, should we tell the full story of our hang?
Here's the thing. I told Norm, let's get to the full disclosure of this podcast.
Yeah, are we going to get arrested?
I told Norm, I said, I'm not broaching the subject because Allison and I have two very different paths, and mine is a little more reckless than yours. So the story coming from me is not going to be a surprise. I leave it in your hands. You kick it off and I'll fill in the blanks.
Imagine what repercussions could come.
There's none.
Right? But so we did mushrooms.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! Woo! Woo! Which I had never done before. And it was funny because so we do them and I really didn't feel much of anything. Like, we did them at 7. We hung out till 11. I didn't feel anything. And then I get home with my lovely boyfriend, Nick, and I went insane. I literally started, first of all, on the Lyft drive back, I started to feel it because I was thinking of a sad thing and it stuck in my head. And I was like, why can't I shake this sad thing?
Oh, that's what you texted Ryan and I the next day.
Well, that was the first thing. But then when we come up the stairwell of my apartment, I started to laugh. I couldn't stop. And it was like a snorting cackling. I was making sounds I'd never made before. I was just like, like scary. And it lasted for many, many, many minutes. Like I laid down on the couch. Nick's like getting me some water, whatever. And then I like started, like the lamp was coming at me. I was truly speaking in poems.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, you know, I got this like hot as hell boyfriend. I said something about the mountains of his body.
Ooh, Allison.
Just, you know, it was very, and so it was interesting and cool, but if I'd have a glimmer of a sad thought, it would stick with me. And I was like, I don't know if the fun of this is worth the like moment of paralyzing anxiety.
You know, it's every trip is different, right? A couple of things to take in effect. So here's what happened from the outsider perspective. Here's what actually happened. we all split up the amount we were taking, and everybody took the half of the amount we had, and we were all like, we're going to take it. We're going to wait. Everybody chill out, right? And you set a timer, which was set late. So
I know. Who knows how useful
the timer was absolutely useless. But you were like, oh, the timer I forgot to set. And everyone was like, what? But whatever. So you're like, I'm not feeling anything. We're outside. You are yelling, being like, I'm on drugs. But like, you're saying it in sentences, but like, you're talking so loud. And Ryan looks at me. Ryan goes, she's so high and she doesn't even know it. And I went, oh yeah, she's having a great time right now. I went, this is fun. This is very fun. Then you took the other half and I went, this is the worst idea I've ever seen in my life. But really, it did not hit you. Like, you were buzzing, having fun,
yeah.
And like you, and this is, I want to get to the sadness in a second. From us, our perspective, you were having a great time,
yeah.
And we're talking, everyone's talking to individuals, yes. So it's fun, you know, yes. Everybody's really getting to know each other and everything like that. And then when we got the text the next day of you being like, oh, I got home and
blasted my brain.
Yeah,
out.
Went yeah. absolutely nuts. I was like, okay, that was the second half.
Yes,
took.
Yes.
That
I also think
in.
People are kind of talking about there was also some marijuana around, and people are saying like the interaction of that can, you know, amplify it or something. I don't know. But
yeah, no. I mean, it all a drink, anything that you add on top of something else is going to have an effect.
Yes.
But the sadness part that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think it's. Here comes another great reference that we already mentioned, a vampire. So vampires feel everything times 1,000,
yeah.
No matter what emotion it is. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like because you naturally run hot on feelings,
yes.
You like, you feel your feelings,
yes.
Right? They're on your sleeves, that's
yes.
how you are.
Yes.
That your natural brain that goes to that catastrophe,
yes.
Snuck in for 1 second and then it amplified it as
yes.
if you've been sad for 5 hours,
yes.
or something like that.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was bummed out to hear that the next day. I was like, God, I hope she wasn't like, when you said you went home, I was like, I hope she wasn't like sad for 5 hours.
No.
But then you, yeah,
no,
now I'm
like,
hearing
yeah.
it was like
no.
A blip.
Mostly
or something.
I was like giggling my ass off and then was also like, I'm a scientist, like, and we are all riding the roller coaster of consciousness, like, very. Poor Nick, he
it
was just
it.
Like,
okay,
the
poor Nick,
it.
You had to see this guy here.
Oh,
Nick
he
started a rave at the front door so no one could enter or exit the house.
It hit him first, and
it
I
did.
Guess his response to it is like needing to move.
Yeah.
And he's also a wonderful dancer, which
great
like how
dancer.
Many straight men can you say that about?
Nobody complained. That was
oh,
the thing
yeah.
is that no one was like you were like, oh yeah, he was really feeling it, and everyone was like, oh, we were loving every
yes,
second of it.
Yes.
Because it's like, it's fun to see everybody having fun.
And their different experiences.
But it hit him first,
yes.
And then you could slowly see it
pop off
and hitting everybody else, but mm-hmm. in like very different ways, which mm-hmm. is kind of why it was to me the perfect trip, because, you know, we all don't know each other super,
yeah.
There's different parts that where we all know
yeah.
each other better,
yeah.
but as a group, it's not like we'd had all hung out before.
Yes.
This is our first hangout. And I said to Norm, I went, that is the most successful you are ever going to have that situation go.
Yeah.
Because it could have gone bad and then it's in front of strangers.
Yes.
And then now you're like, oh my God, everyone's judging me.
Yes.
And then we like actually lose our minds
yes.
in front of people.
Yes.
So I thought it was a huge success. Now I have a confession.
Tell
so,
me.
And guys, get in the comments. Tell me what you think. I buy individual Gatorades for people because I was like, people are going to need to be hydrated. I got to get out my phone. People are going to
you
need to
all
be
about
hydrated. I was all about the Gatorades. Ryan was yelling, this is giving me life. Screaming at the top of her lungs, this is giving me life. So you leave and here it is. I took a
oh
picture.
Oh my God.
Allison left half of her
two-thirds.
You're right. Two-thirds. I'm being generous. Two-thirds of her
sorry.
Gatorade bottle leaves it at the house. So here's what happened. You guys leave. We were like, man, I can't wait to see. I said, you're going to be up all night. I mean, she's going to be up all night. Because
yes.
And then you
sure enough.
But I was like, oh man, that was a blast. And then I look on the counter and I go, oh, Ryan, your Gatorade's here. And she went, please, I got my Gatorade with me right here. And then I was like, is this Allison's? And she's like, I guess so. And I was like, why would she come into my home and disrespect me like this? is.
I'm so
Ryan
sorry.
Ryan tries to take it, and she goes, I'll take it. I love the stuff. And I went, Ryan, you can have your own. Try to drink your Gatorade.
Wow. I am sorry to have disrespected you. I have to blame the drugs. Like, I wasn't of sound mind. It is the drugs. Mind.
Because if you were of sound mind, would you not have taken the free Gatorade?
Absolutely.
Well, Allison, I have bad news. Sorry. We've got two more free ones in the fridge. You can take one with you today.
Oh, my God. Sign me up.
Sorry about the bad news. Now you have to drink more Gatorade. You don't even want it.
I want it.
What would
I
you
want
do
it.
If I had left it on the counter warm and then made you come back and sip it? I'm so
love
mad at you.
Love that passive aggression.
No, I thought it was a great night.
It was a great night. I'm glad we did it. Because my thing about like...
And also, I do it years apart. So when you were like, I might not run to do it again, I was like, yeah, girl.
I just want to like look back on my life and be like, she lived. Like I did. And doing the occasionally dabbling with something new makes me go, I'm living life.
You know what though? You're so different from when we first met. I feel like when we first met, you were a bit of a scaredy cat.
Oh yeah,
like a social scaredy cat.
Yes,
or like a goody two shoe or something. Yes. And you, I said to Norm, I went, I gotta give Allison credit. The thing she'll say yes to, like
good.
The adult gymnastics, taking class. Like I'll be like, want to come here? And you're like, yeah, sure. Like, where I'm like, oh, you don't know anyone? And you're like, yeah, I'm in. Or I'll come to your show. Like, you are, to quote my own music, literally saying yes to life.
Oh, thanks.
You truly are.
Happy. Yeah. Yeah. Because I used to just be such a like narrowly focused workaholic, which like served me, but you burn out and you especially burn out in a creative field. Like when I struggle to have ideas, I'm like, oh, probably because I'm just looking at my computer all day. Like,
well, now you'll have all kinds of funny stories to talk about just based on that one night. Yeah. That's like a whole scene right there or whatever, right?
Script. So no, I try to like, you know, have no,
you're
new
good
experiences.
At it.
Thanks.
You're good at going places and you're good at meeting people and you're really good at follow through and creating actual friendships.
Yay. Yeah. You know, I have no shyness about pursuing a friendship.
No.
Some people have that, and for whatever reason, I'm just not insecure about it, which is good because, I'll just
great.
Ask a
Somebody
person out.
Somebody has to, though, first.
All my closest friends, you, Alana.
Okay. You, me and Alana, your only two friends.
You and Andrew and Barry, all my closest friends, I, like, sought you out. I was like, hi, hello, I'm interested in friendship with you.
I said, she made it easy? Why the hell not?
Yeah.
You know what? This is the easiest friendship I've ever been in. We went on a hike. That was the end of it.
And I also think, like, people get extra nervous about it, like, in your 30s or whatever, which I'm like, oh, all the, like our new friend Ryan, I've been like quite aggressive with, and people are happy for it because I think they're not, with between the pandemic and being older, like it's not, they're not getting as many offers.
It's hard to make friends, and we are in LA.
Yeah.
We are in one of the loneliest places on the planet,
yes.
at least that I've ever been in. I love it here, but damn, have I been run through the ringer here of like loneliness and people like when, especially I first moved here, people to hang out with and
totally. And like, I think adding the pandemic definitely makes it
worse. Well, we had not falling out, but, growing apart with friends of not seeing them over that time. And you kind of realize like, oh, I guess we weren't as close as I thought we were.
Right. Or, you know, and also yet like now all my closest friends are in serious relationships, which is like great, but it can be very easy for them to be like, I get my socializing from my one partner and like, okay, but like, I miss you, you know, like
So that's hard too. For people that, nobody's reported back to me on this. From what I would assume, starting a relationship in the pandemic would be really interesting or potentially hard because you started it just the two of you and people's dynamics really change around their friends and around their family and around their coworkers and the different like sections of people in your life and stuff like that. So it's like you have to re-enter society now with someone else that no one knows. Like one of my friends, you know her as well, had a boyfriend for like a year and I'd never met them. And I was like, this is madness. And during the pandemic, I was like, this is madness.
Yeah.
In what world have I not met this? I know everything about them. You've told me all this stuff, and I have not met this person.
Right.
I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what world we're living in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can imagine that it's like, you get used to that one person and if you get a lot of attention from them and then you go out and then they have to give attention to other people, even that would be an adjustment.
Right.
To be like, oh, you're talking to the other people. But what if I say something?
Yes. No, totally. But I think like I've, you know, met my guy during the pandemic and I've found it Like, it was weird that in the first 6 months, I felt like he'd only met my closest friends, like, here and there. Mm-hmm. And so I really like bringing him into the world.
That's what I mean, though. You've done a fantastic... That's why I'm like, nobody's reported back saying anything's a problem. But right. I have... I do know people have said, like, oh, yeah, they haven't met anybody. Or yeah. they haven't...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you've done a good job integrating him into the rest of your life without an oversaturation.
I know.
We can't bring him everywhere. There are we some have people, to have our limits.
Sometimes you have a friend where it's like, oh, now that you're in a relationship, I never see you by yourself. You're exactly. only... I'm like, okay, get the fuck over it.
I definitely make an effort in being with Norm to try to maintain the hangouts I was having
yeah.
previous to Norm as best as I can. And listen, I bring him around a lot, or a lot of people come by the house, he's going to be here, whatever. And I bring him to a lot of places because it's tough because he also works in comedy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, he also likes to make jokes and hang out and can keep up and everybody really likes him. But he's got to go do his own thing. Sometimes he goes to sports games or goes and does whatever yes. that I don't want to go to. And I got to go do like my own thing because I already feel like I lost so much of myself in the pandemic. That yeah. like, I'm like Stella getting her groove back right now. Totally. I can tell you what. And then to lose it on top of that, to lose it because of a relationship that yeah. was happening, that kind of stuff would happen pre-pandemic already with yeah. friends and stuff like that. It's like, then what are we hanging on to?
Yes. Here? Yes.
I have no, like that pandemic, like that pandemic.
You know that pandemic.
Yeah. So,
wait, which one? That one?
Hold on. The one of the current pandemics. It's really interesting what a number it did. Like, I think
oh
back.
Oh, my God.
I think back to the first couple months when I stopped doing the podcast because I was like, I normally am a happy, joyous person who has experienced a lot of things to bring me down. But, like, I genuinely like to have a lot of fun and, like, whatever. And I stopped doing the podcast the first couple months because I said to Norma, I was like, I can't be me. Nobody wants to hear it because it was so dark mm-hmm. and down and sad. Mm-hmm. And, like, I am grateful that we came back and kept going because I feel like everybody's honesty coming out of this, of the people that are really telling me the experiences that they had and mm-hmm. catching me up and bringing me up to speed on stuff, I've really come to appreciate. And it's made me feel a lot closer with people. Like, basically, Mono, who just did the Patreon, it was his birthday, him and Nicole's birthday, and he had done my podcast, and, like, we had such a good time. He was like, Elena, you have to come to my party.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'd love to. And then the next day he texts me, and he's like, you got to come do my podcast. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, but we talked. When we talked, we really got into it, and we had talked, like, before, whatever, and we were just talking about, like, you know, the truth about everything, and you just immediately feel closer, and, like, yeah. Again, just the reconnection, why I'm so excited for the theater. Just because then I can find people.
Yes. No.
We don't have a bar that you can, like, find anyone
in. Yeah. And
does that make sense?
Humans are simple creatures that need, like, sunlight, other humans, food.
Sunlight.
Like, it's so, we fool ourselves in this modern world. But
what do,
like,
you think you need the most? Do you think it's human connection?
Yes. Oh, my God. I want to wake up in a crowd. Like, yes.
Okay. More than sleep. More than...
Sleep is definitely big, but that isn't... Knock on wood. It's not, that's not hard for me. My okay. only struggle with sleep is sometimes I'll wake up 2 hours before I need to and just, like, stare up at my ceiling and pick yeah. my life apart. Yeah. But, like, falling asleep has never been a problem. Sleep definitely affects me. But given that, like, my schedule's so freelancy now, I generally get, like, 7-8 hours of sleep a night, which is great. Like, yeah. you know, but yeah, people to get me out of my head. Like, that's what I need.
I would say mine is down. Oh. I would say mine is that I need downtime because as a kid, when I was, like, run too ragged or doing too much or whatever, I would have, like, full-on breakdowns because I couldn't manage my energy well enough. Mm-hmm. I gave 100% for absolutely everything. And, like, you cannot run at that level.
And not everything deserves.
And not everything
most
deserves
things don't.
It, but I was like, this is what everybody wants of me.
Right.
This is the Elena everybody wants to see. Like, I will never forget. Okay, let's trash an ex-boyfriend of mine, shall we?
Okay.
You don't know this story.
Okay.
Well, you know this story. I went to Vegas for my 30th birthday.
Yep.
Years back. Well, let's not give away how many years back, but went
one
to-
One year back.
I went to Vegas 5 years in the future. Okay, I went to Vegas a couple years back for my 30th birthday, and we were all going to do MDMA. Mm-hmm. This was the last time I ever did it, and I will never go back to it again. And this, it was a totally fine trip, but I was like, I'm too old for this. I can't yeah. do this anymore. And it's all laced and terrible and dangerous.
Yeah. Yes.
Everyone, please don't do it. But anyways, So before I was feeling like really stressed out, I was in the height of my eating disorder, but nobody knew and whatever. And I was just feeling really overwhelmed by like the whole thing. So it's like, I was kind of quiet, or like at one point I got like a little upset to myself, whatever. Anyways, while we were on drugs, I'm having a great time. We're hanging out. We're in this like private booth. While we were on drugs, my boyfriend at the time goes, "See, this is the Atlanta everybody wants. Just be happy." Like,
yikes.
Actually kill me. Because yeah. I was like, that was my fear my whole life, is that if people saw the real me, they wouldn't want me.
Right.
My whole life, that was my fear. Hence why I never got close in my relationships, even in my friendships, having secrets, because if people knew the real me, they wouldn't want me. And it was like that. Well, first of all, I was like, I'm never doing drugs again. But I was like, that moment was like truly soul crushing. We broke up shortly after that. But that moment was like truly, we didn't break up shortly after. No, we did, like a couple months, but we were in separate cities anyway, basically already broken.
Yeah, yeah, that's bad on multiple levels. Because for one, he doesn't realize, like, this is not the real you. You're literally on drugs.
Exactly. And I'm like, so you want me to be on Molly all the time? Right. That's what you're asking?
And even if you weren't on drugs and you were just in a happy mood, the pressure of being like, you're never allowed to have other feelings is like, what?
It was so, that was such a toxic relationship. I learned a lot, glad I had it, but like, that was a really heartbreaking moment of like.
And that's funny because I was obviously close friends with you at the time, but I did not know that stuff. And I think because that was in a time when you held things close to the vest and you wouldn't say.
No.
I was just like, oh, Alana's boyfriend who's a musician and, you know, like, I didn't know, you know. And it's got to be so hard to like keep those secrets.
It's so sad sometimes to look back at the stages in our life when we were so. So bad to ourselves and so
scared
and or let the wrong people in and like because I feel like in my life right now I can honestly say I have almost no toxic people in my life right now. There's one or two, what word shall I choose, maybe triggering friendships,
sure.
Some people that can kind of set you off and maybe they don't even mean to, but you're like, ooh, you just hit a nerve sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe one or two of those. Yeah. But like at that time, I was surrounded by toxic people.
Yeah.
Some good ones too, obviously, who I'm still friends with. Like Georgia Mo, like, you know what I mean? A lot of people I'm still friends with, but it's like there was some toxicity in there. Yes. And I was like, oh, I let it in because I was being so toxic to myself. I thought this is what I deserve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally. Have you ever had like what would you say would be your phase of life that would be closest to that of self-deprecation and stuff.
The first thing I want to say is that I think what's so great about the relationship that I'm in is that I've had a couple of instances where I've really been been really upset.
Yeah.
And he so is there for it and handles it that I'm like, oh, this is a keeper.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can't hide
who you are.
Right. And if someone is down for that, you're like, okay, great. Like, great. You know? But I mean, that you remember we had a fateful hang about a year ago, or no, more than a year ago. Like June of 2021, where cool thing about me is I don't know how to clean. And Alana's a pro cleaner. And
But is that a cool thing about me?
It is. Your house is lovely. And during the pandemic, I had moved into a place of my own and
beautiful place.
Yeah, I love my place. And previous to the pandemic, I would, it's not that I was like dirty. It's just like, first of all, I would get a house cleaner once a month to like do the real cleaning.
Yeah.
And then I like had a dishwasher and stuff. But in my new place, because of the pandemic, I wasn't having a cleaner come and I didn't have a dishwasher. Just like, and it's like kind of an old place. So there's like dust and stuff.
Yeah, it piles up. You know how it goes.
Yeah. So I invited you over to hang. And there had been this like total fuckboy that had been in my life. And like, I just, the ways that I would throw myself under the bus for this fucking.
Nothing. Nobody.
So like when I would hang out with him, the deep, dark, toxic emotional hangover I would have the next day was it would take me a couple days to get over like what I had done to myself.
Yeah. You were so fixated on what he was on paper of like, he has this, he's good looking, he has, like, you know what I mean? Like a checklist almost, like we all do when we start dating somebody, that like you were not seeing like the how actual way you were being treated.
Yes. And it totally, like, I, terrible, you know, guy. As, yeah, like I put him up on a big pedestal. And I think that comes from like putting my parents up on a pedestal. And I really felt not good enough for him. And it was just sort of this like addictive thing of anytime I would get a crumb from him, I'd be like, maybe I am good enough. And yeah. it was that I was trying to prove okay, that well, I was
he was
good
leading
enough.
You on though.
Oh,
Allison.
For sure.
Like you were.
Oh, and for when
you
I
were
finally,
being told tales out of school.
Oh, yeah. Here. And when I finally like. Was like, oh God, I can't do this anymore. For the next fucking year, he would still reach out to me.
Or like your messages and
yeah.
DM you and stuff,
so,
I remember.
But that, yeah, when I look back on that, I'm like, I'm not mad at myself, which I, at the time, I was very mad. I'm not mad at myself. I just feel bad for past self.
Exactly. I'm not mad at myself. For when we first broke up, I was mad. I was like, what a fucking waste of my time. And I, you know what I mean? And yeah. I was like, ugh, like how embarrassing almost, how embarrassing.
Yeah.
Especially because for me, well, you had it a bit too, but none of us ever met your guy.
Yeah.
But it's like, for me, it was like people were texting me when word got out that we had broken up and they were like, I fucking hated that guy. It was like satisfying, but embarrassing.
Totally.
Mortifying. Yes. I dated the guy nobody liked.
Yeah.
And he was, of course, he was a
yes.
musician. What do you,
yes.
like, yes. Sorry yes. to the listeners out there who are, but you're all out of your minds.
Your tools.
Yeah, your total tools. Sorry about that. But with your guy, it was so frustrating because I had not met him.
Right.
So I...
Also another huge red flag.
Huge red flag. Where I was like, I haven't met this person for a year. What's happening?
Yes.
He wasn't a year, but like, whatever. And it was like, I hadn't even met him. I'm only ever hearing one side. It was like, you would talk about him almost like a resume or something like yeah. that. But then you'd be like... He hasn't texted me. I haven't heard from him. And you were like,
treats
wait
me like
a
shit.
Second.
Talks about other women like he's going to date them. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool.
Oh my God, you're right.
That was the thing that really...
He pulled the rug out. He was terrible.
Trash.
But like now look, it's, you know, oh, yeah. sometimes the trash is worth it because then you get the treasures.
No, absolutely. I have so much more gratitude for my man that because... I was through this trash man.
I am happy for my trash, and here's why. It really kept me single or in the dating world for a long time before then I found the partner to be with because I don't regret the experiences that I had. I'm glad that I got to have them. Sometimes I wonder, and a lot of people do this, and it totally works out. I mean, our parents and stuff meet really young.
Yeah.
And then they get together, and they stay together, and it goes great. Your parents, they're yeah. great. My parents are great. Kind of, they have similar stories in school and stuff like that. And but when you meet somebody later in life and you go through all those, like, terrible people, it made me almost feel more sure that it was Norm.
Yeah.
Like... Maybe if I'd met somebody younger, maybe after 10 years, I'd be like, well, I met them when I was so young. And what about all these other people? But now I'm like, and even like in your situation, I'm not saying you're getting married right away or anything like that. But I'm just trying to say you're in a relationship. You're comfortable in it. You're really enjoying it right yeah. now. It's going well and everything.
Yeah.
You know that because of this fucking trash bag.
So and
thank
so
God
many
for the
trash bags. And yes, totally. No, yeah. sometimes you need, because I definitely feel like I look at it in my career like different failures or things that didn't work out.
Sure.
And I think they make me more empathetic to other people because I think if like – because I think growing up I was like a straight-A student and did well in school and I think that made me a little bit of a bitch because I was like, shit's easy. And then when I got my ass handed to me in various ways, I was like, oh, maybe things were hard and like don't be so competitive and judgy. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
But that's – you know – that's not your fault. Like, the way that we were as kids, so much of that was, like, the influence from our parents
yeah.
and stuff. It's not like you were a baby and you were like, put me in class. Maybe you were. If anyone would
I
be,
was.
It would be you.
It was me. It was
if,
me.
If anyone, it would be
yes.
you. But you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we are under the influence of our parents.
Yeah.
And including seeing and witnessing their relationship
yeah.
where we're like, I have to meet the love of my life and then we have to do this and then
oh,
we have
yeah.
to have four kids because both our family has four kids. You know what I mean? And you
totally.
Think it has to be this way. And for so long, I felt like the black sheep and like, I can't make relationships work and I'll never get married and I'll never whatever because such an example was set. And
yeah,
I was almost meant to not feel shame, but I think if my parents found out how many people I've been with, I think they would be so
oh,
dead. I'm
yeah.
sure
my
they can try to guess,
like
but like they would be devastated.
Slut.
They would be devastated. They truly
yeah.
would. But I'm
it's
like,
it's just a fucking different time.
It's
and
just
a different
time, and I'm so happy.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
in this one.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean?
I also think that like, there's something to. I'm very grateful to have like to have parents that are still together, but I also think there's like a level at which that fucks you up too.
It does fuck you up because then you, it's like gives you this like perfectionism complex.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, see, we have a healthy relationship and we have all these kids and look
it's
at all
perfect,
this stuff
and
we
it
have
can be done and why haven't you done it?
Exactly. And we're a united front forever and
yes.
We did it right.
Totally. I was like cool, I put a romantic relationship on such a pedestal. I was like, I have to find the one. It has to be for forever. Like, yeah. Da-da-da. Like there isn't much divorce at all in my family. And mm-hmm. So the idea of ever getting divorced is so like scary to me, even though it's like 50% of marriage. Like it just, you know, it's funny how, I don't know, the so-called good version can also fuck you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because any version can, because it just feels the pressure to either be that or be the exact opposite
of
that.
There's no, yeah.
And that's a lot.
And so much of it, like, we don't account for, like, life. We really can't compare ourselves to our parents because life is so different.
It's not even...
There's no... if they were alive now, they'd be in the same situation. Yeah, I mean, not alive. They are alive. But if they were dated, they were our age.
My parents suck. No, my dad was cool. My dad went to bars when he was like 15. He grew up in a real kind of small, trashy town type thing. And like, he was like so cool and had a motorcycle. And my mom was like, I don't know English. And I was like, all right, mom, you need a better story. My mom... It's so funny when my mom would talk to me about dating, because I was like, you literally never went on a date in your life.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Are you,
nice
you have
try.
No idea what you're talking about. It was my dad that once gave me the best advice I had. It was my first high school, well, my first like real boyfriend of like a high school boyfriend. Like, you know, someone's your boyfriend, but you don't talk to them and you see them once every 3 weeks passing by you in the hall and you're like, we're in love. But this was like the first one. I was like 17. This is who I lost my virginity to.
Uh-huh.
This was like, ooh, brag.
Ooh.
But anyways, we were like about to break up, or like, oh, I didn't know if we were breaking up or not, something like that. And I was upset. My dad had picked me up after school and he's like, well, what's wrong? And I was like kind of explaining the situation to him. And I was like, I just don't know. And my dad was like, well, and it's simple. You either love him or you don't.
Mm.
And I was like, touche, Mikey J. Hello. But it was like, I believe him because he had so much dating experience. And he said when he met my mom, they were best friends. And he was like, yeah, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And Norm and I have had the exact opposite story. I made sure we were enemies because, like I said, you either do the exact same thing as your parents or you do the exact opposite as your parents. And I made sure we were enemies. I was telling Kirby that story at the party.
Oh,
and she
yeah.
was like, what?
Who P.S. looked gorgeous. I mean, she's always
Can
gorgeous.
Can we even
but
talk about how good she looked?
About,
she had the right summer outfit.
Oh, my God.
It was
I was
like the right accessories.
Let me live with you. You're so...
Oh, my
so,
God. I couldn't even believe it.
I was captivated.
She lives with her boyfriend now. She just told me so. Sorry.
Fuck.
There goes that.
Okay.
Fuck. I'm really. I already gave my notice at my place. Alston, if you're going to move in with anyone, move in with me. I tried to make you sleep here on the weekend.
I would love that.
I
Maybe
begged
you, me, and Ryan. I'll move in together.
Oh, Ryan and I are too loud. No.
You know, it was. I was like,
we're
you
too
guys
loud. We
were,
got each other riled up.
Yes. It was funny.
It was very funny, but I said to Norm, again, the energy thing. I was, it works against me. Like, I can't help it. It's like, if people are having fun, I'm like, I like fun. And if someone's being loud, I'm like, I want to be loud too. And it's not like out loud you to get the attention. I'm like, I want to do exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you are having the best time right now.
Yes. And it's like, in most situations, I'm like, the loud emotional one, but when I'm around you two, it's like I'm a quiet little church mouse or something. You guys are next level.
Well, Ryan is such a character.
So funny.
I mean, even on the episode that we did, and we had real deal talk, but she is a character. I mean, she truly is.
Just unreal. Why doesn't everyone like know about her and what, like, she's the funniest person.
You guys watch out, because Ryan's going to be, and she's too humble to talk about it, but it's like, just watch out. Yes. She's going to be explosive.
She's Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. She's like, and she's going to come out of what seems like nowhere. and we'll be like, no, she was here the whole time. Yeah. But like, that's exactly what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Because she's like, and that is one friend cannot be jealous of. Can't be jealous of her. I'm in awe of her.
It is nice to like when if I met her when I was 22, I'm sure I would be jealous.
Oh my God, I would have hated her, guys.
I would have been like, get out. Like, she's not that funny.
A whole list of people I did hate at 22, and now meeting later in life, I would have hated at 22.
Yes.
Don't put that down. I just was listening to a book about writing books. It's called Bird by Bird, about like writing a novel, like tips and stuff like that. And
are you writing a novel?
I am. It's called How to Have Self-Esteem.
Oh my God.
I'm already up to 15 pages.
Oh my God.
I am writing a book, but it's very slow, but it's based on all the songs as chapters and like where they all came from and the life lesson that I learned. Like one of the chapters is like, you know, when you're backed in a corner, fake a pregnancy scare. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you got to have fun with the chapters, obviously. But anyway, so I'm listening to this audiobook. That's why I told you the two audiobooks, the one you sent me and this one.
Yes.
So these are my two audiobooks. And she has a chapter further in about jealousy of coworkers.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I'm a published author, but my friends are wildly more published and known authors than I am and stuff like that. And like, it was so great, one, to hear other people talk about jealousy, and it shows it's in every field. Like, these are quiet writers, and she was like, oh, we're a lot more malicious than you think we are. Like, that was like really cool to me that I was like, okay, so it's not just me who's like loud and desperate for attention. It's like the quiet people are also desperate for attention. Yes. So, okay, I don't feel so like an egomaniac. But it was just one of those things where they were like, you just have to free yourself and create distance. So I'm like, 22-year-old me would not know that I need to create distance and focus on myself. So I would just be insanely jealous. Now, because I know how to take a step back and say, it's not about me.
Right.
And make that distance, I can now let people into my life and just enjoy them.
Totally. And the other thing is that it's like, when you're like your most you and I'm my most me and she's her most her, like we might have some similar sensibilities, but we are different and we have different strengths.
Exactly.
And so it's really not a competition, and she's going to soar at this thing over here and you're going to do great at this other thing.
You can't compare.
Yeah, you really can't. I remember once, my little brother, he always has interesting takes on things. Right out of college, I was like trying to do musical theater, and my two best friends, Barry and Rachel, they had like landed an audition with this fancy Broadway casting director. Wow. And I was like, oh, like they're gonna be on Broadway tomorrow and it's all gonna happen for them and blah, blah, blah.
Tomorrow.
And my brother said the funniest thing, which he was like, Allison, people are getting opportunities all the time that you don't know about. You're only jealous of this one because you know them.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, we're not over here jealous of Jennifer Lawrence because she's not in our world.
Yeah.
And so if it's just, you're sort of arbitrarily being like, oh, if my friend over here gets this thing, you think other people are going, and Alana didn't. You know, like no one's thinking about that. And
it's so small scale. Like the Canadians even do it. We're like, Canadians would be jealous of other Canadians. And I'm like, guys, it's the Americans I would worry about.
Right.
Like, they've already
right.
been here. They're knee deep in it. We are not. Like, I'm like, and even then to be worried about Americans, I go, who do you think is going to give you the opportunity? Like, you have to be with the people, your peers, and stick with them and be friends with them and just focus on making fun things with them and being friends with them and genuinely being happy for people, because if you exude that joy, it's going to come through in your work. It means you're doing better work, means you're going to be more positive to be around, and that's how people get fucking jobs.
100%. Yeah. Like, it is really like, don't try to beat them, join them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I put Ryan in like this thing when I like came across her. I was like, this girl's so funny. And I started putting her in things. And I was like, good for me. Like, she's going to make my thing better. And, you know, like, same with you.
It's like, it's using someone in the most flattering way possible.
Right.
Where you're like, I'm going to give you this opportunity because it only makes me look like a fucking genius.
Right.
And then it's an opportunity for you. And it's going to make, like, give you whatever cred or whatever, or give you a paycheck or like, or even just an opportunity to like when we did your play, play read, your script, well, whatever, script read, whatever anybody wants to call it. Sometimes movies are plays. But, and then Ryan and I saw it at your premiere and we were like, oh my God, it's you. It's like, okay, you gave someone an opportunity and now you made a new friend and your friend made a friend.
Yes.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. And then who knows what work goes later, because she does want to do the speed walker. She even made a point to say when she left. Totally. She's like, I'm going to follow up with you guys.
She's so good at social media stuff, which I've never been good at. And I'm like, maybe I can learn from her.
Oh my
her.
God, 100%. I'm hopping on that. Yeah. And it's going to be a really funny sketch. Yes. I think it's going to be really funny.
Yes.
Okay, Allison. Oh, we are right on time. We are nearing the end of the podcast. We both started out. Okay. Let's give the full backstory. Like you said, the original recording yes. was about a 4.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And we're gonna call that the mistake record. Mm-hmm. Mistake record was a 4.
Lock it in the vault.
Burn it, release it on the Patreon. Now we started at 7, I believe.
Yeah.
Where are we feeling now?
I'd say 8.5.
Fuck it. I will join you exact, actually, because one, like I said, I want to be feeling and doing exactly what you're feeling and doing. Yeah. But two, I feel like we got to get into some stuff, but yeah. I feel like we also were able to be like compliment each other or recognize or point out like accomplishments that we have like made over the years.
Yeah.
And sometimes you taught me this. Sometimes you got to look back on your own resume
yeah.
and go, oh, I have done something.
Yes.
So in this conversation, even now, like what you said about the secret keeping, I'm like, yeah, she's right. I used to. And look at me go now. I tell the truth. And
yes.
like, you know what I mean? And that just made me feel so good because yes. sometimes I forget that.
Yeah. No.
Little things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really important to like look back and be like, oh, look how far I've come.
Allison, we talked about it on the Patreon. We did not talk about it on the main feed. Tell us about the film and where we can find it.
Oh, sure.
Because
yeah.
we don't only on the Patreon. We talked about it.
I made this short called Training Wheels that you can find on my Vimeo or on this YouTube channel on Leto. It's called, if you just search Training Wheels, Allison Rich. I'm very proud of it. It went to Sundance, which
yes.
is very exciting. So yeah, check that out. And like, I post stuff on Instagram, not that much, but that's kind of where like the latest stuff is.
Well, the latest stuff is adult gymnastics.
That's really the big. I'm
Follow
making the
Allison's
career transition
adult
at 35
gymnastics
to the straight to the Olympics.
Turns out all you had to do was post one video and
tag
they
the call
Olympics,
you up.
And they call
Carrie Strug goes, hello, we got her.
Allison, this has been an absolute treat. And
such
stick around for the soda water or the Gatorade for the road.
Woo!
Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem part.